Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Talking about because we have a God, and you can always download those. You can get those. They're free. And I want to talk tonight, I want to kind of stay on the same subject, but I want to veer a little bit, because I want to talk about someone who I believe is a great example of someone who had a real relationship with God. It wasn't just what they call a foxhole relationship with God, and by that I mean someone who only reached out to God when it was when all hell busted loose in his life, and so he's like, Lord, you know, deliver me. This guy had a relationship with God all the time. And I like that idea. And we were talking about, because we have a God, we live differently. We've been talking about, we talked last week, we said we talk differently. I even gave you a verse to say. Anybody say that verse over there? That, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you're real. I believe you're rewarding me because I seek you. I'm glad four of you did. But it's a good verse to say. I said it all during the week. It's just a good thing. Lord, thank you. You said you are rewarded. He said, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, or just simply those that seek him. So I wanted to take a look at someone who has a reputation for seeking God, and we'll take a look at his life, and then we can glean some things there. So we're going to stay on because we have a God, and we're going to stay on that theme. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
Okay, good. Do you expect to get anything out of this?
Yes.
Good, that's good. That's helpful, because if you come in with an expectation, one, it makes it easier on me to speak. You know that. You've talked to teenagers before. For those of you who have teenagers, you ever talk to a teenager and you could tell, yeah, the lights are on, but nobody is home. They are not listening to me. They're looking at you, but they're just like, it out. And so it makes a difference, though, when there's a receptive audience. And so, you know, some of you are like, well, Alan, I've been coming here for years. I've heard all your stories. I've heard all of your stuff. You know, what do you got? Yeah. You may have. But here's the beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit of God has the ability to take a truth that maybe you thought you knew and make it even more real to you and bring it to light and bring it to life. And so you can be sitting in church for years and get revelation on, for God so loved the world, and you can catch that in a new way. God's word is alive, and it is full of life. And if you'll come in, sometimes you have to stir yourself up. I realize you've had a day, you've had a work day. Some of you are tired. You tell me that all the time. We were tired when we came in here. I'm glad. I know. I get it. But you can stir yourself up. We can go, God, thank you. I'm not wasting time in here. I believe I'll get something from you. Not necessarily for me, from him. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you. We appreciate this opportunity that we have together. It's a precious time, and we appreciate it. Amen. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher. Illuminate your word to us. Make it real to us. Show us things that we haven't seen before and the things we have seen. Father, enlighten us even further. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We expect good things. In Jesus' name, amen. The man I want to look at is a man actually in the Old Testament who has a very unique relationship with God, and he's oftentimes listed as many people's favorite Bible character. Who do you think I'm talking about?
David.
Exactly right. Talk about David. So let's take a look at David, and I want to start with really where it began with David. And this is an interesting thing. David was overlooked by people, but not God. I think it's so easy, especially when we look at these Bible characters in the scriptures, to almost make them superhuman, that they were just like amazing people that just from the very beginning had a halo around them, and you're like, oh, they're incredible. I'm not, but they are. And yet, we're going to find out that David was overlooked by his own family. In fact, they had a party and didn't even invite him. Some of you feel that way sometimes. Life can make you feel that way. It can make you feel like, hey, they had a party and I wasn't invited. And David started out that way. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish. So we'll take a look at David. Let's read in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. They have sent the prophet Samuel. They've sent him to Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. And they sent Samuel there. And the Lord said, go to Jesse. And when you get there, I'm going to have you anoint the next king. Didn't tell him who it was. Just said, you go. This is first step. Here's something interesting you'll find out a lot of times about the Lord. When he leads you, he will not give you the whole story. When he leads you, he'll tell you, go here. And you to make that step. And then you see the rest of it. But here it says, in fact, Samuel, when the Lord said, go to Jesse, Samuel said, if Saul hears it, he'll kill me. Saul was the existing king at that time, bad king. And Samuel said, if he'll kill me. So the Lord said, take a calf and go and say you're going to sacrifice and consecrate. So he came, Samuel showed up. He was the prophet, scared everybody in the town to death. They're like, did you come in peace? He said, in peace, he replied. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Well, that's like a feast time. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and said, certainly the Lord's anointed one is here before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I've rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees. Humans see what's visible. The Lord sees the heart. David was overlooked by his family. They didn't even invite him to the feast. And Samuel knew he was going there to anoint the next king. And Samuel, now here's what I think about David. If they didn't even invite him, either he was so far down the chain, he was the baby of the family, and he was so far down on the chain they just forgot him, or he wasn't so amazing that they thought he was the shining star of the family. You know, David had been just incredible and like awesome athlete and just amazing. The whole family would have been like, oh yeah, that's the star. They forgot him. They're like, yeah, he's watching the sheep. And Eliab was the first one. He was the firstborn. In Jewish culture, the firstborn is a big deal. If you are the firstborn, you get twice as much as everybody else in the inheritance. He was the firstborn, and the brother just looked like a king. He was tall, he was handsome, had to be at least 5'10", brown hair, blue eyes. Where did you see that? I made it up. But he just looked like, if you're casting for a king, Eliab looked like the guy you want. And it even fooled Samuel. Samuel looked at him and went, well, certainly. The Lord's anointed is here. And I love what the Lord said. He said, no, no, no. He said, the Lord doesn't see things like people see things. The Lord looks at the heart. And that is such an encouraging word for us.
Amen.
Because people, we gauge by the appearance, by what someone has, if they have the look, if they're amazing people, if they're talented, if they're skilled. You know, they've done studies that people who are physically attractive get more favor, they get more blessings, better things happen for them in life. I am just so glad that God does not see us by what we look like on the outside, that's not what's important to him. And so with David, they just left him out there. But this helps me. Because God's perspective is different, and because we have a God, we can take comfort that God still looks at the heart. People are so accustomed to looking at whether someone has talent or skill, and like they're amazing. God's like, that's not what I'm about. Outward appearances do not sway him. So let's look at some scripture of that. And here's what I want to go with. Because we have a God, what I really want to lay out tonight is, we need to be able to think differently about ourselves and about people, because our relationship with God puts us in a different category. So we're not people who are merely looking at someone out on the outward appearance. We're people that value what God values. Now, here's what he said in Peter. He was talking to 1 Peter. We'll be reading that tomorrow, because all of us at the Ark read Bible 365, and that's where we're heading. It says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that the gospel was proclaimed to you. If you look at that whole chapter, Peter is talking about the eternal part of us. That he said that this flesh, I don't have to tell you that this flesh doesn't stay the same. I know they're trying to find all kinds of things. And I know if you go on YouTube now, they got all these anti-aging things. And everything is anti-aging. It is my generation fighting old age with everything they've got. And if anybody is going to make a deal out of it, we are. We will turn old age sexy quicker than anybody else. But still, the bottom line is, you ain't going to stop it. The Bible says the outward man is like grass. What he means, it's very temporary. And if you don't think it's temporary, you haven't been around long. Because the stars of yesteryear don't remain that way. And people age out, and actresses get a real bad deal when they lose their appeal. Man is temporary, and man's outward fades. And so that's not what we have to focus on. So we stop limiting ourselves to only people's perspective. 2 Corinthians 5. Here's a great verse. Paul said, he was writing to the Corinthian church, he said, we're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you may have a reply for those who take pride in outward appearance rather than in heart. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you know some people who are really good looking, but at heart, they are not good people to be around? Just like I said, just look straight ahead. If you happen to be sitting beside them, do not look at them and go, he's talking about you. Don't do that. But I think we've all known people, and you see them like, wow, they're amazing. And then you get to know them. You're like, no. No, in fact, and Paul is talking about this. If you'll notice, the scriptures don't make, especially in the New Testament, they don't make a big deal on how people look. But they do make a big deal on people's heart. Now, I'm not saying that you say, well, great. If it doesn't matter how I look, I'm just going to let myself go. I'm going to McDonald's tonight and get a chicken Big Mac and a regular Big Mac. And I'm going to just let myself. No, it is not saying you disregard your health. But what it's saying is this is where we don't put the emphasis. We don't put the, and here's where I want to go with this. We don't put the emphasis because we have God and we have a relationship to God. We're not limiting ourselves to other people's perspective. We embrace a new identity in Christ. And the identity we embrace in Christ is not based on our race. It's not based on our background. It's not based on what we have. It's based on our relationship with Him. Amen. And our relationship with Him is what gives us a different perspective and a different identity. Now, I gave this first Sunday. I'm going to go over it again because I think it's real key. It's real important. Now, this is out of the Christian Standard Bible. So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk or to live your lives in Him, being rooted and built up and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Would you leave that up there just for a second? That word rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up, if you think about it, people have their identity rooted in a lot of different things. You hear people like, you know, I grew up in the South. My parents were both from Georgia, born in Alabama, raised in Georgia, very Southern. And my dad was very proud of being from the South. He identified. It's interesting. People from Alabama, Georgia, Carolinas identify with, at least years ago, from being Southern. Texans identify with being what?
Texas.
Totally. Totally. Texans don't really even consider themselves Southern first. In fact, a lot of Texans don't even consider themselves American first. They consider themselves Texans first. But that's an identity. And people get rooted in that. And you hear people that they move all over the world and then they're like, yeah, but I keep, like, the siren song of Texas keeps drawing me back. And I love Texas. I'm a naturalized citizen. I've been here now for 40 years. But when I came from North Carolina, my parents identified, especially my dad, with being Southern. We're from the South. I would walk in and my dad would be watching a football game. And if anyone in the South was playing someone like Penn State, I didn't even have to ask my dad who he was pulling for. My dad was pulling for the Southern team. Now, my dad grew up in a time where there was a lot of prejudice. He grew up in a time where there's a lot of racial discrimination. And I'm not proud of actually how he identified. And so one of the things about coming to Christ is you can begin to identify, and race doesn't mean near as much. That's one thing I have noticed over the last few years. Race has kind of dropped out of the thing with being the biggest identifier. But because now you see mixed race couples and no one thinks twice about it. But when I grew up, it was an issue. Why? Because people were identifying. I'm a white Southerner. Listen, I don't identify with being a white Southerner. Where we want to be rooted in, I'm rooted in who I am spiritually, because all this is going to change. But who we are in Christ is something eternal, and that doesn't change. Rooted and built up. So what we're finding out is, who am I in relationship? Because I've made Jesus my Lord, I've been recreated, I've been born again, and I've only been born again so that I just get to go to heaven when I die, although that is wonderful. I've been born again, and now I have a relationship. It said, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, now we begin to walk connected to Him by faith, rooted and built up in Him. That's another by faith thing. So now I begin to identify with what I am in Christ, what Jesus has done for me. And it's not just heaven when you die. He's done some things for me right now when it says rooted and built up in Him. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. This changes. You might have been a looker, but when you're 85, it ain't happening. I mean, you know what people, when you're 85 and look good, you know what people say? You look good for 85. That's exactly right. No one goes, whoo, whoo, whoo. But no, we go, oh, they look nice for 80. I'm going to get in trouble. I just need to stop. But how many of this changes? This change. Listen, because so many men get rooted and identified in their job, when their job changes, a lot of times they go right into depression. Because we identify with my job. This is one reason I caution people, if you're going to retire, find something else to do, because you need a purpose in life, and your purpose can't just be your job. But thank God, if you've got a relationship with the Lord, you don't have to retire. You can refire. You can find some other things to do. You can find something that has real purpose and meaning. And so the idea, though, is we want to be rooted and built up in Him. And that's a whole different identity. It's an identity based on faith. But here's the key. We have to be very intentional to identify with Christ. Because very few things in life are going to affirm you with that. We'll affirm you in here. This is church. You come in here, we're going to tell you, man, isn't it good to be in Christ? Isn't it good to be rooted and built up in? Aren't you glad you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ? Aren't you glad you have a relationship with God? Aren't you glad you're no longer cursed? You're blessed in the Lord? Aren't you glad? We'll tell you that in here. They're not telling you that out there. Yep. When you get out there, there's like, hey, you, come here. We need you to do this. No one is backing up that identity. So you're going to have to be very intentional. If you're going to change, I like to call it this. If you're going to re-identify, then you're going to have to be very intentional. Because, again, people aren't doing it. In fact, people are going to, they'll treat you like they treated Jesus. So your feelings aren't going to help you identify. Your reasonings aren't going to help you identify with being who you are in Christ. And your relatives are not going to help you either. How many of you found out, maybe you found out, sometimes after you came to Christ, if you have relatives who knew you before, they're not willing to receive well from you. Say, well, yeah, I tried to win all my family. No one listened to me. Because a lot of times family still sees you the way you used to be. Sonny boy, I changed your diapers. Or you got your party friend. Oh, I remember when we used to party. So that's not fair. Happened to Jesus. Look at this. Mark 6. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, talking about Jesus, Where'd this man get these things? They said. What is this wisdom that has been given to him? And how are these miracles performed by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Jesus came from a big family. And aren't his sisters here with us? So they were offended by him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his household. Why is that? Because they could not identify Jesus as the Messiah. Some did, but many people still saw him as a carpenter. Many people still saw him as, hey, I know his brothers. I work with his sisters down at Walmart. I know the whole family. Who is he claiming to be a miracle worker? Who is he claiming? We have to understand, guys, when Jesus walked the earth, he didn't have a halo, and everyone who saw him didn't go, whoo, that's the Son of God. In fact, when he showed up in his hometown, they're looking at him going, what? You're the what? You're the Messiah? Where are you teaching this stuff? We know you. We know your family. You just think you're better than us. You ever heard that one? You just think you're better than us. And what happens is so many people, they're not going to affirm who you are because of your relationship with Christ. So you have to be very intentional about it. And listen, it makes sense. If you've been trying to reach your family and your family's not listening to you, don't argue with them. Don't get mad at them. Pray for them. And look for an opportunity. But live a life that they can't speak bad about. And you can reach them. But in Christ, who we are in Christ, is not going to be often affirmed by other people, and it's not going to be affirmed by the Word. You say, well, then how do I then begin to re-identify? I mean, I can hear it in church. I'm glad you asked. Because this is where I talk to you about reading the scriptures and reading Project 365, Bible 365. I talk about these things because I realize this is what's going to build something in you. The world, when I say the world, the outside world is not going to build things in you. They will take things out of you. And if you can't perform for them, then they have no use for you. And so many people feel like they were left out of the party and they didn't get the looks or they didn't get the talent or they didn't get the skill, and the world looks at them and go, you really don't count. And it doesn't work that way with God. And this is the opportunity that regardless of what your background is, regardless of what your skills are, regardless of what you look like, this is an opportunity in Christ to build an identity that's rooted and strong and built up and eternal, that no one can take away from you. Amen. That no one can say, well, you don't have value, because God says you do have value. And so now we begin to shift our thinking from what everybody else says, what the world says, what social media says. We begin to shift it to what does God say? Paul was talking to the church, Acts the 20th chapter, verse 32. He said, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. The word sanctified simply means set apart. I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What am I telling you tonight? I'm telling you the word of what God's grace has done in your life. And if you'll get a hold of it, if you'll begin to think about it, if you'll begin to speak it. Remember we talked last week about speaking this out of your mouth. If you begin to speak what God's done in you, it will build you up on the inside. If you lift weights and eat right, you can build muscle on the outside. And they say you can build muscle into your 80s and 90s. Your body is a type of what your spirit is. Your spirit is even more advanced. And you begin to take God's word, you begin to put it in your heart, you begin to put it in your mouth, and you get built up on the inside. Amen. And you get strong on the inside. Here's the deal. When you are strong on the inside, then when life happens, it doesn't happen as bad as when you're weak on the inside. You can't stop life from happening. We can't stop difficulties from coming, but we can get stronger in the face of it. And when you are rooted and built up, if you've lost your job, you don't lose your identity. If you've lost a relationship, you don't crumble and fall apart. You begin to say, you know what? I know what I am in Christ, and this is what I am, and this is what I will be 1,000 years from now, and this makes me strong. Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You say, man, Alan, you're on the soapbox today. I know it. Because I see too many people who aren't rooted and aren't built up, And when the winds of life blow, they get blown off. And God, where'd they go? Doesn't have to be that way. But we have to be very intentional. When I was a kid, growing up, I was always real skinny. And in the 70s, when I was at college, had an opportunity to, I was part of a gym, and I was actually able to not be skinny anymore. But it didn't happen because I went and looked at the gym and went, well, that's nice. I like that. In fact, I'm gonna go to this gym every week and observe. You know, you can go every day and observe. But how many of you know, unless you do something, unless you pick up a weight, ain't nothing gonna happen. We know that. We know that naturally. It's the same thing spiritually. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Say, well, Alan, how do I do this? Well, A, read your chapter. B, begin to find some of the verses that talk about what God has done in you and begin to speak those. Now, this will seem different because we haven't been trained to do it. We've been trained to talk about what we're not, our failures, or maybe you're able to talk about how big and awesome and great you are. But we haven't been trained to talk about who we are in Christ. And I want to jump, so I'll close with this. Ephesians, it's the next one. I want you to look at this verse in Ephesians. I'm going to show you how this works. Again, this is from the Christian Standard Bible. Every now and then, I'll get another translation just to mix things up, just to give a new perspective. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll take all the grace and peace I can get. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Let's stop right there. Can we, if that's the scriptures, can we say, I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing? Amen. And that's what we have to do. So when we find something, we just don't read over it. We go, praise God, I'm blessed. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. And it wasn't a matter who my parents are or whether anybody in my family knows the Lord, because I'm in Christ, I'm blessed. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Hang on. How many of you realize you're chosen? When you made Jesus your Lord, you can call yourself chosen. Now, I joke because I'm half Jewish. I tell Joy I'm twice chosen. But the idea is, if you're in Christ, you're chosen. See, I really wish I could have been part of the Old Testament and God's chosen people. You are God's chosen people. Amen. It's the Bible. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. We're destined to be holy and blameless in love. What he did in us. You say, oof, I'm sure not living that. Well, maybe not, but you have the potential to. And if I know I got the potential to, and nothing's stopping me. Amen. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself. You're adopted in a family. We're adopted in his family. You say, well, my family, oh, Alan, my family's so messed up. Not this one. The family you've been adopted to through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. I like that King James has said, made us accepted in the beloved, adopted, accepted. In him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption means he purchased us through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. How many of you believe when you made Jesus your Lord, you were forgiven of all the stuff you've done? Forgiven. If you're forgiven, you're also redeemed. In other words, you were purchased out of your old way of life. You also are adopted. You also are accepted. You also are chosen. You see, what this is a different mentality. So we're not just looking at ourselves going, gosh, Alan, I'm such a mess. I'm messed up. I am so messed up. I'm messed up. But that's okay. My whole family's messed up. We're just a messed up family. That's not That's not helping you. That's not helping you. Instead of saying you're messed up, say, God, thank you. You've made me part of another family. You may be part of your family. You adopted me. I'm not second class. I'm chosen in you. It's a different mentality. It's a different, and you'll have to be intentional about it. To be rooted and built up, you're going to have to take some of these verses and you're going to have to begin to speak those over your life. See, it may be easy for you to look at me and go, well, you're a pastor. Of course, you're chosen and adopted and accepted and forgiven and all of that. But the bottom line is, the beautiful thing about it is, being a pastor doesn't give me any advantage over you. It gives me a gifting to speak and to teach and to oversee. But as far as me having a spiritual advantage over you, it's zero. Because who I am is in Christ. And who you are is in Christ. Amen. And there's no tears here. There's no, well, special ones in Christ, and then there's us lowlifes in Christ. There are no lowlifes in Christ. It's all equal. Amen. Now, some of us have taken that and grabbed a hold of it and begin to live the reality out, but every one of us has the potential to do that. Amen. I threw a lot at you tonight. You okay?
Yes.
You still here?
Yes.
They're not playing the World Series yet, are they? And we don't even care who's in it. But here's the, that got an amen. That's right. Bless God. This is so key. And I tell you, as your pastor, my desire is that you get strong. I wish I could pray that you never have problems. But that would be we live in a world that's going to have them. But it can help you get stronger. And if you're stronger, and when the problems come, your ability to handle them is enhanced. Amen. Stronger you get, the smaller the problems get. And when the big one comes up over the fence, you realize, thank God I'm not alone. Like, Lord, your child needs your help. But I'm adopted and accepted and chosen by you, so I know you are on my side. We can handle this. Would you bow your head for a moment? If you came here tonight, or maybe you're watching online, and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not even sure about that. Or maybe you did that once and you got away from God. And man, you know it. You know he knows it. But you don't want to stay there. And so tonight we're going to give you an opportunity, man, to make such a powerful change in your life. It starts so simple. It starts like a seed, but it can blossom like nobody's business. It's wonderful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you say, Alan, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I made Jesus Lord, but I want to be. Or I know I've been away from God, but I want to come back. Would you pray for me? Real quick, slip your hands up just real quick across the auditorium. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand and you're thinking, I wanted to do that, you can still do it. We're going to pray with you. And you can, this is a heart prayer. Remember, God, He doesn't, hands are good for you. They're a good first step. But listen, God doesn't just see hands. He sees hearts. So we can pray this prayer. We'll pray it together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer. Thank you, Father, for those who've come out of darkness into light, and for those who've come back home. Father, thank you that those of us who've received Jesus have become new creations in Christ, and you don't make faulty new creations. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.